divine messenger. He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to hang out with Jesus. He wanted to stay with Christ, and he wanted to be with him, because that is a fruit of salvation. You desire Christ. But Jesus says, no, go to Decapolis, and I want you to publish all the great things that I've done for you. And you see, we have a picture here of this person who was dramatically transformed in their life from the very worst of extreme situations. But what about Noah? We're not going to spend a lot of time on these, but Noah also, ordinary man, but he was used in an extraordinary way and built this ark, preached righteousness for all of those years, 120 years, most believe. And then we're talking about, what about the judges of Israel? There's Gideon, the one who was a man who was the least educated in his father's house. He was the youngest in his father's house. And he was threshing wheat by the wine press. He was trying to hang on to a little bit of sustenance for his family while the Midianites had besieged the land. But you know the way the story goes, that the Lord showed up to Gideon right where he was at, on the side of that mountain, as he was threshing wheat, trying to store up for his family during this besieging of the enemy. And the first thing that he said to Gideon was this: Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And we know that the Lord had seen something in Gideon that Gideon didn't see in himself. While Gideon was living in a time of fear and worry and great concern, yet Jesus called him, or the Lord called him, this mighty man. Gideon could have thought himself anything but a mighty man. You see, tonight, when we're thinking about how God might use us and how we want to be used by God, always, never forget that God views us differently than we view ourselves. I might view myself tonight as a weak Christian. I might view myself tonight as someone who is very low on the totem pole of great preachers in this world. And that's fine with me. That is totally fine with me. And I might view myself as someone who is for some parts of my weeks and months and years humdrum or mediocre, and I feel like that I'm not really going as fast and hard as I could for God. But it's very important to remember tonight that God views us differently. He sees within us potential. He wants us to trust Him with the things of life so that we could be flexible in His hand. We move on from Gideon. We look at Samson and how that on one occasion, Samson, he caught all of those foxes and he tied their tails together. And he let them go with a torch. And then what about Shamgar? Shamgar that killed all of those men, the enemy, with just an ox goad. A tool that prods along cattle. And he used this ox goad because God was in control of his life. Shamgar was an ordinary person. Yet the Lord got all in his situation and put a little bit of extra on his ordinary. And he became to be extraordinary. And then there's the man Ehud. You remember Ehud? Ehud was a left-handed judge. Left hand. And you see, Ehud went and he was delivering, or he was going to actually kill, destroy the king there. Eglon, the king. And we know that he was patted down. But you see, what makes this story so great with Ehud, the judge, most of the time they would pat down the opposite leg. And Ehud, being a left-handed man, he would draw his sword out from the right, and so they patted down his left, thinking he was right-handed.
But Ehud was left-handed, so he had his dagger on his right leg to pull it out that way. They patted down this side. They would have checked in those days. They would have checked, is what I'm trying to say, the appropriate side. And so Ehud was able to go in, and he killed the king Eglon. Listen, God uses ordinary people, and even those, and in our world today and down through history, there's always been this study on left-handed people. And I don't know the ups and downs of that, but I know, or the ins and outs of that, but I know in Scripture, the right hand is a sign of power, and the right hand is a sign of usury. But this Ehud had a left hand. And I believe the message in that is God is saying that I use ordinary people, and I can use these other kind of people who think they can't be used, and maybe have a little bit of a different approach in life because they were born a certain way or have some kind of disability. And not saying left-handed people have disabilities, but just saying God has a way of using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Of course, there's Esther. Esther, who was handpicked by God in His providence. And she stood there before the king on that day, knowing her life could perish. And she says, if I perish, I perish. But I am in a position where I could help my people. And if I die, I die. She stood before the king. And the king lowered his scepter, said, come forth. And so she came forth. And we know that all of the Israelites were freed in those letters that Mordecai had sent out. That Mordecai had sent out. The name slips my mind right now. But sent out. Haman is his name. Thank you. Memory, Lord, Haman had sent out. And all of that was reversed. But it was because of a woman that was called by God, and she was at that pivotal place. She was at that place of position. Ordinary woman used in an extraordinary way. We could go on and on tonight. There's Naomi that was used for Ruth, and then there was David that was used greatly. You know his story. And of course, the grand of all stories, Mary. Mary. And Mary was used to give birth to our Savior. Tonight, church, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And here in Matthew chapter number 4, I want to share some things with you about these disciples mainly, and how they were used so greatly, and what it was exactly that happened in their life that allowed them to be used so greatly. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17, chapter 4, the Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Number one, the reason for their extraordinary use, these disciples, was because they had a God encounter. They encountered God. I want you to notice in verse number 17, we see that Jesus began preaching repentance in the world. He says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so Jesus begins to preach here. And we know that as he preached, there were a select few that
actually received the grace of God. Grace found place for some. These some were fishermen. Can you imagine the audience that Jesus was preaching to?
I mean, after he was baptized and after he was tempted of the devil, and now he is going to preach repentance. He was preaching to the world. Anybody that would hear, he was preaching to. And so there were a lot of no's at that time. No to Jesus, no to his salvation. But there were some yeses. There were some yeses. There were some where the grace of God found place in their heart, and they said yes to Jesus. And these were fishermen. Look in verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So the scripture is telling us they were doing what they did. They weren't looking for the Lord. They weren't looking for God. The Bible says plainly, for they were fishers. And that is emphasizing the fact that they were doing what they do. They were fishing. And that's all that they were doing. They were caught up in their occupation. And verse number 19 says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. We have wrapped up in these four verses, that these that were fishing received Jesus as their Savior, because they actually left their occupations. They had a God encounter. What about you tonight? Do you remember your God encounter? And listen, this was, they were fishing. That's what they did. They weren't looking for Jesus. Jesus was preaching the gospel, and he came right down their lane. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they left the very thing they dumped their lives in. They turned their back on their occupation. It was a God encounter. And listen, I don't know if the things that maybe they were tempted with turning their backs on their occupation during their duration of their occupation. I'm sure there were other times where they thought about leaving the fishing trade. Maybe were tempted to leave that fishing trade or just wanted to quit. And nothing shook them from fishing. But the night, the day they had that encounter with God, it was so strong. And it was so personal because he came to them. And they left their nets. Listen, those who are used greatly in this life are those who have a God encounter. Number one, the encounter of salvation. Those who accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Father, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I know when I die, heaven would be my home, hell would be my home. And Lord, I want heaven to be my home, not hell. Lord, would you please save me? I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for me. I know you was buried. On the third day, you rose again. You see, it's through acknowledging the truth of our position. We're sinners in need of a Savior. And those whom God saves, he uses. Tonight, are you tired of an emotional life that you feel like there's no purpose for you? You feel like that you're just, you know, going through life and nothing's really happening. There's no purpose. Do you feel alone? Do you feel like, let me ask you this, if you died tonight, would heaven be your home? I'm speaking to those who may not be sure. Well, one of the benefits of getting born again, accepting Jesus as your Savior is that he moves in your heart and he assures you that you're saved and that one day when you die, heaven will be your home. But here and the now, he gives us
purpose, and he calls us to do certain things. I want to say tonight that God uses those who have a God encounter at salvation. These men were fishing. These men were minding their own business, and then the Lord saved them. We think about the Apostle Paul, who was on the road to Damascus, and he was going to with letters of consent to kill Christians. God saved them. And what about the great C.H. Spurgeon? The story says one day that he was, I can't really remember if it was a service he had planned to go to or if he was just walking home in the snow. But nonetheless, he attended a service of a little church. The preacher, the pastor couldn't even be there. And so a deacon stepped up and began to speak a few words out of the Old Testament. One of the verses that he used was in Isaiah. I believe it was the verse, "Look unto me, all ye lands, and be saved." And the story says that C.H. Spurgeon, he came down and he accepted Jesus. He had a God encounter. And just about every preacher I know and all over the internet, there's all this talk about C.H. Spurgeon and he has commentaries. I even have a couple myself. And just being used greatly for God. Wasn't a perfect man, by no means. In fact, there was a time where he struggled so bad with smoking cigars. He wrestled to give those up. But ordinary people doing extraordinary things. What about Billy Kelly? Billy Kelly was a great preacher. Billy Kelly wrote Southern gospel music. But Billy Kelly at one time in his life was a drunkard. The story says that he attended one of the biggest revivals and someone nagged him to go, I believe the story says. And so he went and he sat way up in the balcony in the very back of the church. He said the choir got to singing a song, a certain song, and the Lord started tugging at his heart, tugging. And the story says before he knew it, he was down in the altar crying his eyes out. Having given his heart and life to Jesus, God called him to preach. God called him to be a preacher of the gospel and to be a gospel singer. And listen, folks, all of this happened when they had their God encounter. They encountered Jesus. And each and every one of us that are saved, we all have different and separate testimonies. And that's a wonderful and beautiful thing. That everybody's testimony isn't the same. But God, if He has saved us, we have had a God encounter, whether there was feelings attached to it or not. And God wants to use us tonight. God wants us back in church. The Lord wants us to serve Him and reach the community with the gospel of Jesus. And that's what we're going to do, my friend. They encountered God. Talking about ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Number two tonight, not only they encountered God, not just these disciples, but everyone in the Bible that was used, they encountered God, but they embraced their purpose. They embraced their purpose. Notice in verse number 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They were used in extraordinary ways, these people in the Bible, these disciples, these fishermen, because they embraced their purpose. Number one, they left their nets and followed Jesus. That had to do with their God encounter. But then I want to say that by leaving their nets and following Jesus, there was a cost involved. Now, let me say this. I didn't have to give up nothing or anything when I got saved. In other words, what I mean to say is, yes, Jesus changed my life, and I don't do those things anymore. But there's nothing I'm mourning about that I had to give up in order to follow Jesus. I was ready to follow the Lord. And He was ready for me to come along. A lot of people say, oh, I had to give up this, and I had to give up that, and I have to go to church now, and I have to listen to the preacher, and I have to give, and I have to do this, and I had to give up. No. What a blessing it is tonight to be able to preach the gospel and to attend church, although it's virtual, and to give our tithes and offerings, and to be used in the church and in the community to tell others about Jesus. Listen, it's not what I had to give up, but I have gained everything. So we see that, but there was a cost involved. And here's the cost that was involved when they embraced their purpose. They left their comfort zone. Think about it from a normal human perspective. All they were used to was fishing. And now they're not doing it. Which means they are living a new life. They are following the Messiah, which everyone in the community, the majority, denied Him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the religious leaders, they mocked Him and eventually went to a cross, which that was God's plan anyway. But they left their fishing behind. They left that comfort zone. We all have comfort zones. You have your daily routine. I have mine. Let me ask you something. You know what time you're getting up. You know what you're going to eat for breakfast. You know where you're going to be at lunchtime. You know where you're going to be midday after lunch. You know about that ride home. Or at least you know what you're doing throughout your whole entire day from start to finish. You have your routine. And I have mine. What if the Lord came along and said, Justin, I'm now calling you. What if He told me this? How would I feel to be a missionary in Africa? I want you to leave what you're doing now. And go to Africa to be a missionary. Talking about leaving comfort zone. I'm telling you right now, there is a comfort zone that will be left. But to say the very least tonight, God still has a way, even right here in Powder Springs, Georgia, of keeping me out of my comfort zone. But leaving that comfort zone, what if God asked you to do that? We would really feel the effects of that comfort zone. We could really break it down to this, as simple as this. Every time the Holy Spirit wants us to do something, no matter what time of the day it is, and there's an internal wrestle on the inside, there has to be a leaving of our comfort zone where we do say no to flesh and yes to Jesus. All kinds of comfort zones. On a little platform to a major platform, from wrestling with the spirit, the flesh, to going to be a missionary or answering another call for God. There's all kinds of comfort zones that we have and we're not really necessarily aware of. And these disciples, they had a comfort zone, but they left it. Someone said one time that comfort zones are meant to be temporary. Someone also said, the Lord will do one of two things. He will either comfort the afflicted or He will afflict the comforted if you belong to Him. It's kind of like a car that's been sitting around for a year and hasn't been cranked. You go to crank that car up, be expecting some problems. You may have to get a new battery. You may have to air the tires up. You may have to clean the cobwebs out. Listen, all kinds of things happen when we're in our comfort zones, and most of the time, we're not even aware of them. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things leave their comfort zones. They embrace their purposes, whatever they are. They first have a God encounter, and then lastly, let me say this, they endure hardship. They encountered God, they embraced their purpose, but they endured hardship. Now turn over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, in verse number 32, listen to this. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Make note of that. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. How about that? They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Tonight, when it comes to living an extraordinary life for Jesus, does not come without hardship. I mentioned to you all of these other things, all these things. Verse 33 mentions the lions and how their mouths were stopped. Think about being in Daniel's den with a bunch of hungry, bloodthirsty lions, yet when his faith was put to the test, it protected him. Faith will protect us. We have to just keep believing in the Lord and His Word. Verse 34, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, all of these other things, tortured, and I mean all of them. Yet, they held firm to their purpose because they had a God encounter. And then they embraced that purpose. They endured hardship. John, that was exiled to the island of Patmos for the word of God and his testimony. Remember that? He was released on this lonely island, this dark place, but it was there that he received the visions of the book of Revelation. And what about Paul that was stoned and drug outside of Lystra and left for dead? Most commentators believe that this is where Paul had his heavenly experience, where he was called out of the body. And he seen and he heard things in heaven, but wasn't lawful to talk about them. Paul also got up from his death state and walked right back into the gates of Lystra. You can't keep a good man down. 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us, and Paul telling us, he says, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." They endured hardship, but they fulfilled God's purposes. They embraced their purposes. They encountered God. All of these things tonight is the reason why ordinary people can be used for extraordinary things. There has to be that encounter with God, embracing of a purpose, and enduring hardship. But with these three things, God will be seen clearly in your life and mine. So that's my prayer tonight as we close. Is, Lord, take me further than I can go within myself. And I realize by saying that, I'm asking really for to be positioned to trust Him more. But you know, the Lord knows our heart tonight, and I pray that the Lord would position all of us to be used greatly for Him. Let us trust Him tonight, and we hope that that you would trust Him with your life and be used greatly. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You for who You are and for the things that You do, Father. We pray that You'll be glorified tonight. We pray that You would use Calvary Baptist Church in this community. Lord, help us be people of inreach and be people of outreach. Help us be a balanced church. We love You. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we appreciate you joining tonight. Thank you for your faithfulness. Remember, this coming up Sunday at 10 o'clock, the Diplomats and Choir. We will meet at 9:30. Hope everyone has a great rest of the week, and we will see you then, Lord willing.